Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back from RahapCon 2017 in Salt Lake City this weekend. We've already posted our News AF 100th episode celebration, and now it's time for the Survivor portion of the RahapCon festivities. So first, you're going to hear from our Utah Survivor panel, where we're going to hear from Tyson Apostle, Rachel Apostle, we're going to hear from Nalia Dennis, Jonas Atsuji, and of course, Rick Nelson, who was there. And we had a really fun time with those guys. Then we're going to hear our Survivor Family Feud. The first time we've ever attempted this in person. That was a lot of fun. If you want to skip ahead to the Family Feud, that's going to be at about an hour and 40 minutes into the show. I'll have an exact time for you in the post on robhasawebsite.com. Before we get to our Survivor panel, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are friends over at Hubble Contact Lenses. Because if you are a contact lens wearer, you know how aggravating getting fresh contact lenses can be. I don't wear contacts. My mom does. We got her some Hubble contact lenses, and she says that they are just as comfortable as the regular contact lenses that she wears and a lot more affordable. Gone are the days of overwearing contact lenses to save money, because what if I told you can get a fresh pair of contact lenses every single day for less? 60 contacts for $30. Do the math. That's a dollar a day. That's half the price of other brands. Go to Hubble Contact and get your first 2 weeks for free. Hubble Contacts sell directly to you, and they can offer the contacts for half the price. No more overpaying and no more overwearing. That's HubbleContacts.com to get your first 2 weeks of lenses for free. 15 pairs of lenses for free. You can't beat that deal. Hubble's offering our listeners 2 weeks of free contacts. So go to HubbleContacts.com and get 20/20 vision for half the price. That's HubbleContacts.com. And here is our Survivor panel from RahapCon, Salt Lake City. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino live from RahapCon, Salt Lake City. What's going on, everybody? We are very excited to bring you our big Survivor panel discussion. First of all, thanks to all you guys who came out to this. We're really excited to talk some Survivor, as we're only about 5 weeks away from the start of the next Survivor season. And we have today with us some heroes, some healers, and some hustlers. You, some great Survivor Utahns. First, let me welcome a guy who should be no stranger. He did not pass away from eating a sizable portion of a ghost pepper this morning. Here's Tyson Apostle. Tyson! How you doing, buddy?
Good. Am I here or there?
Wherever you want to be, that I feel like I'll miss you if you're too far away.
Okay. We'll put Rachel between. Oh, the spoiler alert.
How you doing? Good?
So good, yeah. Really good. I'm always good. Am I never not good?
I'm trying to think. Probably once in a while.
Probably once in a while, yeah. I was crying on Survivor once, and that was a low point.
All right, let's bring up somebody who can tell us if you're ever not good. Please welcome your lovely wife, Rachel Folger.
Is it
a Folger or Apostle?
It's Apostle now.
Apostle now. Here she is. Big ovation for Rachel. Thank you for joining us, Rachel.
Hello.
Whose kids are going to be worse during this, mine or yours?
Oh, man, it's a toss-up. We'll see, though, huh?
I think that mine are the front runner.
It's a competition.
Yeah.
You hear that, Bergen?
We'll see. Okay. Now let's welcome some more of our esteemed Utah survivors. You can't miss this guy's big hat. He's here to talk to us today. Please welcome.
Yes,
Tyson has a slightly bigger hat. Please welcome Rick Nelson. Woo!
Hi, Rick, how are you?
Rick's got a big Subway drink also. He's ready. Rick, did they try to, did you get one of the foot-long sandwiches and they tried to give you an 11-inch sandwich?
Yeah?
Yeah. See? Yeah.
If I put that up like this,
yeah,
I get a free 6-inch.
I don't eat one.
Yeah, okay. No, yeah, veggie.
Here, just move that microphone closer in. Yeah, all right. Then, please welcome another one of Utah's great survivors. Please welcome Nalia Dennis. Okay. And then... here he is, the man with a huge entourage today. Please welcome back our great friend, Jonas Atsuji. Woo! Is he periscoping?
What?
What's he doing, periscope or Snapchat?
Periscoping!
Coming up to the stage. Here he is. Whoa! I think it was just a video. I think it was just recording a video. All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here on the panel. This was really the appeal of coming out to Salt Lake City to do this, that we knew that you guys were all here and, you know, a tight-knit community. So it was good. And if you had my kids in the pool, that's them. But anyway, thank you guys so much for being here with us. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Some of you guys that we haven't heard from in a little bit, could we just go down the line and talk about what you guys have been up to? We'll start with Jonas.
Jonas Otsuji.
Hey, just move that microphone. Yeah, just get close to the microphone.
So I have been exploring the world of cryptocurrencies thanks to my buddy Tron in the audience there.
Whoa!
Yes, very exciting and passionate times. I went down the rabbit hole, and it's been a great obsession. Back.
Yeah. What is cryptocurrencies?
That's another podcast.
Oh, I thought maybe you were forging something.
So you're working in cryptocurrencies and
not really working in it, but just investing.
Cryptocurrencies.
Like
it's a good idea. Yes. Yes, no, Tyson talks them up. Tyson says that's the way to go.
I convinced Rob to invest a little bit.
That's it.
Nicole, can Rob invest?
Yes, okay. Well, that. Yeah, we don't need to talk about that with Nicole right now, Tyson. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. great, Jonas. Are you still making sushi, Jonas?
Once in a while, just for family and friends.
For family and friends,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How close do the friends have to be?
It doesn't make nearly as much money as the other things, so.
But they're much more delicious.
Yes, they are.
Yes. If you just get closer to that microphone, I want to make sure that
okay,
we can
read you
guys
boss.
on the podcast. All right. Nalia, what are you up to?
Okay. So, well, I'm still in Utah, and I've got three awesome kids. We've got an 11-year-old son, a 9-year-old son, and a 7-year-old little girl. And we own a food truck of all things, hand-dipped corn dogs, fried pickles. So we're kind of our own little entrepreneurs running around.
Can we get some
it is not parked like, outside, but it's in Ogden today. So, yeah, we're doing that. And then I am just doing, like, I'm a rep for Cenogen's Lipstick. So I have a big team doing that. So just keep busy kind of balancing the world with corn dogs and lipstick.
What got you into food trucks?
So I'm a huge foodie, and my husband was in pharmaceutical sales for a lot of years, and we went through a couple job layoffs, and I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I always thought it would be fun as a little girl to open up a like snow cone stand or something. So I'm like, let's just open up a food truck just on the side, just for fun. So we decided to do it, and it just went crazy. And so now it's our full-time gig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
There you go.
Rick, what about you?
Hey, it's also called Marquesas Corn Dogs.
Oh.
Right? Right? Right?
Yes.
The Marquesas Islands are famous for their corn dogs.
Yes. Some of the best in the world.
Totally.
Yeah. And they are good. They are. I've tried one. They're really good. And the fried pickles.
Put a little honey on top.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right.
Very good. Okay. And I've just been doing the cow thing. Yeah, that sounds like fun, doesn't it?
You're going to have to get more specific than that, Rick. The cow thing could be scandalous. What are you doing with the cows?
Let your imagination go. Yeah, no, don't go there. Don't go there. Of course, we have a ranch down in the middle of the state, and we're kind of isolated out there. But I've got three grandkids, and my oldest grandson, Heston, 2 weeks ago, I do a lot of ranch rodeos, ranch sorting, stuff like that. And I finally he's 6 years old, and I got him in. Me and him entered an event. We lost, but I mean, he didn't fall off. It was good. We got everything going good. And heck yeah, really proud of him. But heck, I'm just waiting to go back on the show and kind of just, yeah, put Tyson to shame.
What? Rick versus Tyson now?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think you antagonized Rick by intentionally wearing a bigger hat today. That's a rivalry.
Yeah, I didn't know I'd have to battle now on national TV.
You got to go for the best. Yeah, get him down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Tyson, we hear what you're up to quite a bit. Do you have anything you want to add?
No.
Okay. But Rachel, we don't hear from you on too many podcasts. What are you up to?
I'm just full-time mom now, so...
The most important job.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an important job. Yeah. I've got my work cut out for me, you know, with the 2-year-old daughter and him, so... So, yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. That's my mom in the back holding Bergen right now.
Yeah.
And she's being so quiet.
Who, my mom? My mom's generally quiet.
Yes.
So which one's easier to raise? Tyson or the baby?
Oh, the baby. The baby. Oh,
Yeah. She'll pay attention and
doesn't wet her pants.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, at your age, it happens.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it all depends.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of different stories and stuff like that, but we also want to get a lot of questions from you guys. We're going to do a lot of Q&A today, so start thinking about things you want to come up, and then we'll have you we'll end up forming a line in a little bit where you can ask your questions to the panel. Let me just start off by asking you guys, Jonas, we didn't get to see hear from you last season, but your buddy Troy was back on the show. What did you think of Troy Zan on Game Changers?
Well, I mean, he was like non-existent the whole time. I mean, what happened? Did he offend one of the producers or what? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, third place, that's not bad. Not bad.
Did you feel like he was a different guy this time around? Did you notice anything different when you watched him?
Yeah, absolutely. And he did say that he was playing a different game this time, and so he was trying to be, a little more humble, I guess.
Mm. Also, that one of your own Utah survivors ended up going back in Sierra. What's that like for the group? Because I know that you guys are all very friendly here. In this particular community of Utah survivors, what's that like when one of your own ends up going back?
Well, I was a little envious, to be honest. You know, it's like I don't get any love, but whatever. She's a lot hotter than I am, so that's understandable. It's understandable.
It's all in the eye of the beholder, Jonas.
Anyway.
I agree with him. She is a lot hotter than him.
Yeah. That's like your opinion, man.
Yeah. And I hope I keep it.
Do you, if that situation were to ever occur with, any of the rest of you, is there any sort of, hey, can I give you a piece of advice? Do you guys have that kind of relationship?
No.
I think we would all give Tyson advice, because clearly he... hasn't been on enough times to know.
Yeah. Being, that I made it first member of the jury, I do not give advice. So if I ever do, just don't listen to me.
What was that like when Tyson won? Did it bring a lot of pride to
you? It was really great.
It was awesome. I was super excited. I didn't meet Tyson actually until California, this last finale. But I've always been a huge Tyson fan, so it was exciting for me to see Tyson go back time and time again. Even though he likes BYU.
Like, it's a lot of teeth.
Oh, and then finally you win when you go back the last time. So.
They gave you enough chances.
And then I remember when I went to your premiere.
Yes.
And I'd met Tyson at Jonas's when he had his premiere. We all get together and have a little to-do, you know, and I'm going to Provo for Tyson's to-do, you know, and we're up there and looking at it and stuff and watching it, and I'm getting to know him a little better, and I kept thinking, no way. Then watching the show, it's like, God, he made another one. Made another one. And it's like, he's going to end up winning it. So I got to call him and make him my friend. It's like, hey, yeah. So he's my new best friend. Yeah. The million reasons to like him.
300,028 now.
That's still better than two.
You know, I'd love to get a little bit of background in how you guys ultimately got into Survivor as people, you know, from Utah. It feels like that there are a lot of people from this state that have been through the show. It does seem concentrated that Survivor has cast a lot of people from your state. So, Jonas, how did you ultimately get involved with Survivor in the first place?
So, do you remember the season where Nyanka and
gosh, Nicaragua?
Yeah, so Purple Kelly and Nyanka quit the same season, and I was so pissed. I was like watching. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, that's it. I'm gonna apply. I gotta do this because I felt a little like I don't have the right to judge these people because I didn't even apply. So that was the turning point. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this.
Want to judge these people?
Yeah, I wanted to judge. Yes. So now I judge you. No, I'm just kidding.
So that was you just were so mad about Purple Kelly and Nyanka.
Yeah, it's like the anger just
and
drove.
Did you say that in your video that was the reason why they put you on that you were wanting to be on the show?
That's a really good idea. Maybe I'll do that next time.
Yeah. So what you need right now is you need some like players to quit again, and then you can sort of like leave Lynn Spillman a message,
or do like the face off surgery from the movie. And apply under an alias.
Hey,
that might work.
I'd be willing to invest a small amount of money into the face-off surgery just to see it happen in real life. If...
Nalia, you got into the show at a totally different time when it was such a juggernaut. How did you ultimately get on the show?
Okay, so I think, you know, for Utah, we have the mountains, we have the Four Seasons, like... For me, I just always grew up camping, and so I feel like maybe one of the reasons why a lot of people are cast from Utah is because we have so many options of being outdoors. I feel like for the most part, people that live here do survivors type of things, camping, fishing, all that. Yeah, Tyson?
Are you the first ever Survivor contestant from Utah?
Yes.
Oh!
It's funny because I had never had seen an episode of Survivor before I tried to get on. My sister told me to do it. So I just sent in a tape and application, literally sat on a rock, VHS tape, sent it in. I know. It's like so old school, like back in the day. Yep.
What did you think you were doing if you never saw an episode?
So I knew it was a game for $1 million and I'm competitive and I wanted $1 million. So that was it.
And how
I knew I could camp and fish and do whatever I had to.
Do you remember when that was? That was at like the spring of 2001?
That I went or?
That you were applying.
So let's see. It would have been the spring of 2000. Yeah, 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they told you that you were going to be in the mix and in the running, was like, did you start like watching all the shows?
So I went to Hastings and rented the Survivor Australia on VHS.
Yeah.
And watched a couple of seasons of that, and then Survivor Africa started. So then I watched two episodes of that before we left. And so I think when we came back, it was the African the finale. So I did see a few episodes of it, but had.
Color or black and white?
Wow. Jonas, seriously, I'm younger than you, so shut your face.
That's sick burn.
Yeah.
And then, Rick, how did you get involved with the show?
Oh, golly, you ready for this? When it first came out, I started watching it, you know, and of course, I'm a rancher, so I live out quite a bit. And like Nalia, you know, I kept watching it going, what a bunch of women, you know? It's like, it's 39 days in the
year. I
didn't
say that. Women, are you? Like, do you have an issue, Rick?
Anyway, so finally on Survivor, I thought, well, I'm going to start applying because nobody's going to come by the kitchen table and say, hey, Rick, you want to go play Survivor? So I started and I applied for Survivor 7 or 8. 8 was the first time I applied 14
8 would have
times.
Been tough.
And I got interviewed for Survivor 9, Survivor 11, Survivor 13, and finally made 23.
After so you guys, hung his hat.
After I had to get age on you. So any of you guys that want to do it, don't quit, because it's life-changing, bar none.
Sounds like you really dodged a bullet not being in those, like, middle seasons right there. Yeah, the forgotten seasons, is that what we call them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the mid-seasons, they'd skip me on them, but yeah. But, oh, yeah. And the video was awesome.
What did you do in your video, Rick?
Hanging your hat.
Yeah. Oh, that is Rick's trick.
Yeah. You guys ever see that show?
You dodged the bullet on that one, too.
You ever guys see that show Cowboy Way?
No.
I mean, about a couple team ropers anyway, and one guy has to get his other buddy to rescue one of their friends that got trapped somewhere. And anyway, he's playing Big Chief with his girlfriend. Anyway, and he comes to the
Sounds
door.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah. Anyway, he comes to the door, and he's naked. Got his hat down like this. He's standing there talking to the guy, and pretty quick he goes, I'm this excited, and the hat stays there. That was my video.
That was your tape?
Yeah. And about knee-deep snow, and seriously? Had that, and turned around and gave him a little butt shot so they could see there was no wires or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, worked.
Good work.
Heck yeah. Had to study a lot. But,
I believe
it. It was good.
The tantric stuff from Sting, is that the books you were reading?
Tyson, just in case people don't know your particular backstory, I don't know when the last time you talked about it was, but how did you get onto the show? Because you were not a huge Survivor watcher before you ended up being cast on the show.
Right. So Survivor was, and maybe still is, my parents' favorite show. And
is that true, Tyson's mom?
Is that true, Mom?
Yes. Okay.
Of course.
Of course. Wake up.
They would record it on VHS or have my aunt and uncle record it for them so they could watch it at their house. So they'd trade back and forth VHS tapes to make sure they caught all the episodes. And everyone that my dad owns a company and all his employees know that he likes the show Survivor. And one of the employees was like, hey, I know somebody who knows somebody's who knows somebody in casting. And they sent out this email that if you answer to it, you may have a chance of getting on Survivor. And he forwarded it to me. And I read it and ignored it because who gets on those shows? And it's my dad's favorite show. And then he called me a few days after and was like, you should send an email to that email address. And I was like, well, why don't you? And he's like, well, because I'm an adult with a job and responsibilities. And so he's like, I can't leave for 2 months, but you're not doing much right now. So I sent him an email that pretty much said, I kick ass and I deserve $1 million, so let's get this shit going. And sent him a picture of like my last 4 Halloween costumes. One was a merman. One was the ultimate warrior.
Wow.
And yeah, I don't remember the others. And sent them my phone number, and they called me like 10 minutes later, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. They had me make a video, and it was the famous 7-Eleven video where I'm just harassing people out front of 7-Eleven. I sent it to them, and they were like, did you read any of the rules? And I was like, no. And they're like, yeah, that's what we thought. So I went back and read the rules. My video was over 3 minutes long, which you're never supposed to be over 3 minutes. I had background music in it, which you're not supposed to have background music in. And I had other people in it, which you're also not supposed to do. So they were like, make another one. So I made another one, and they said they didn't like it and just used my 7-Eleven one for all the casting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rachel, I know that you got onto the show with the Blood versus Water season, but when you guys got together, had Tyson already done Survivor, or you guys got together pre-Survivor?
Yeah, when we first started dating, he went on his first season 4 months after that. And then he did another season, And then he got called to go back again.
But what was your reaction to the early days? You guys just got together, and then he says to you, I'm going to go on the TV show Survivor.
You know, I hadn't watched the show either, so I didn't know much about the show, and I was just like, okay, good luck, whatever you're going to do, have fun. So, and then he got back, and we watched the show, and of course now we're hooked, but we were excited. And
yeah, it was exciting.
It was exciting, and it was fun to watch. I didn't know there were going to be as many nude scenes, and so that was a surprise.
When you got it, you got it, you know?
Yeah. My parents loved that one.
Is that true, Tyson, that
Her parents didn't love it.
Rachel was just like, okay, whatever you're going to go for it.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, let's, because neither of us, I mean, it's the unknown. Until you do something like that, you have no idea, like, what you're in store for. Even watching the show, you don't know all that goes into it, all the work you have to put in personally to even get to that point with all the paperwork and the doctor's visits and the physicals and the casting interviews and constantly on the phone answering your phone when they call, and then you trying to call them and them ignoring you. It's just like constant, like jumping through hoops. And so by the time you get there, you're already exhausted. And then that's when the fun part starts. So
did any of you guys have any sort of pushback from anybody in your family about what are you guys going to do? What is this? And anybody want try to get you to not go?
I didn't.
No?
No.
My family was excited.
I think my dad got a little nervous when it became...
It was his idea.
I know. Yeah. But when it was certain that I was going to go on the show, I remember him saying, now, are you sure you want to do this? And I don't know if he was like envisioning his son being on national TV and being like, uh-oh, what have I done? If he was just asking for my personal well-being, are you sure this is what you want to do? But I was like, well, it seems like the easiest way to get rich. I don't envision any other avenue for me to become a millionaire.
And what was his reaction ultimately when he saw the show?
Extreme disappointment and anger. But still supportive. And then he liked me more on Heroes Villains when I was shown once on the entire season. And then he came full circle, full of pride and love as I won Blood versus Water.
That was just because Rachel was on there.
Yeah.
Now, probably.
Nalia, what was it like for you for such a long time that you were the lone Utah survivor, right?
Right.
Through all of the 20s, right? Todd, right?
Yes.
Was there someone before Todd?
No. There was someone that got voted off first or second, I think.
Yeah, there was somebody early.
Ashley?
Somebody early, like...
Sorry about it.
Palau?
Ashley from Palau was from Utah.
What season was that?
Yeah. Okay.
When people would come on, so I have to tell you guys a cool story about Todd Herzog though. So as soon as I got off of Survivor, I was an entertainment reporter for the CBS station out here, and Todd Herzog came to all of my live shots. Anything Survivor related for live shots
before Survivor,
Herzog came. Like he would have his mom drive him at 5:30 in the morning to every Survivor live shot that I ever was at.
Yeah.
So he was a huge fan of the show. So when I first heard that he got back on, like it was crazy. He would send me fan mail. He'd show up at my work. Like he was a crazy Survivor fan.
He was a stalker, is what you're saying.
I mean, little 12-year-old, 13-year-old stalker. But anyway, I was really excited when he got on and won. Like, I was super proud of him because that was like a dream from when he was just a little kid. But everyone after that, I'm like, ooh, they better not beat me. Like, they better not get further than me. You suck.
I'm so sorry, Nalia.
I'm still not happy about that one.
Did you coach Todd at all? Did he reach out to you?
Actually, he didn't. He didn't. I coached Tyson, though.
Yes.
So me and Tyson, I gave him some tips and made sure he won that money for me.
Thank goodness.
in between each time he went, you would work together?
Yeah, I was like, Tyson, you did it wrong that time.
Try again.
Don't be so naked. Wear a little bit more clothes. And the third one, I'm like, bring your hot girlfriend with you, and you will win.
Yeah.
And cry a little, please.
Yeah.
Show some emotion.
Yeah. Once you cry a little, that'll really
Seal
help.
The deal.
Every time.
So,
cue Rob's baby.
Yeah. Do you guys have? Everyone wants to hear like a story about something that didn't make the show. Do you guys have anything that's like a fun story from when you were out there that we wouldn't know from just watching the episodes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do, but I don't want to go first.
Yeah. I don't want to keep talking, so I guess
I've
go again. Okay,
day.
Here we go. Okay, I'll give you guys two of them. So when we first got out there, so the camera crew, they just kind of become part of the scenery after a while. A lot of people ask how that is, and pretty soon you have other things to deal with. But when we were first out there, I had no idea what a boom pole mic or whatever even was. So the first night that we were sleeping in the Marquesas, we heard all this rustling in the bushes, and we had heard that there were pigs there that you could kill, and we had a machete. So naturally, we just thought pigs just wandered into your camps. So we're like, there's a pig over in the bushes, and so we get out our machetes, and it's like pitch dark, and we're ready to, you know, chop this pig that we thought, and it was a boom pole, like, sticking in the bushes. So that was kind of a
random. Was there a guy attached to it?
Yeah, at the end of it.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Those are good eating.
Those are like
good eating. Yeah.
But those are the survivor dreams. Like, you get out, and you're like, there's going to be food, and we're going to go, you know, do whatever we got to do to kill it, but really there's no food. And it doesn't ever just come into your camp.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like that your season in Marquesas was probably one of the seasons with the least amount of food. Is that fair to say?
So, yeah, our season was the first, and I think it may be the only one where they didn't give us any food or water. Like, we legit had to boil our water from the waterfall. And as far as food goes, there was one camp that had food. They had fruit and crabs, but the other side had none. So I would say, yeah, it was crazy. I lost 25 pounds out there.
Which was which? Maramu had food.
Maramu had food. Rochu had
fruit?
None.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had food for like a hot second, but that's it.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to tell you about, so the whole mint thing that, you know, I was such a snot about way back then, right? So gross. So one.
Can you reset? Just in case, is there anybody here that doesn't know what Nalia is talking about? Yeah, there's a couple people.
It was a kind of a snotty 21-year-old moment where I had been starving for a very long time, went on a cruise ship, ate an amazing meal, stuffed my pockets full of mints, got on the boat. Jeff said we couldn't share anything with anybody. We couldn't bring anything back. So I put some mints in my mouth really quick, came back, word vomited on all of my tribe, telling them how amazing the food was, and then offered them a mint out of my mouth. It was not my most glamorous moment, but I had like an entire pocket full of mints that I never told anybody that I really had. And so Pascal and I would take walks to the waterfalls and we'd like share mint. So
you'd share it like,
no.
Oh, good. I was going to say,
No, I had more mints.
Do you still keep in touch with Pascal?
Yeah. I talk to him. Yeah. Like probably, you know, two or three times a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's doing good.
He's doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing great.
Shout out to Pappy.
Pappy.
Yeah.
Yep. Good old Southern judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What about you, Rick? Tell us a moment.
Okay. This is one of them off camera. And the season I was on, we had coconuts. So they wouldn't give us rice. If you guys know, coconuts are a natural laxative. The water was bad. So when you're there, you get used to everybody going all the time. You know,
where did you go?
And you're mic'd up all the time. And I remember we went to a challenge. We're mic'd up, of course. And it's not, you know, on TV it shows you from your camp and all of a sudden you're at the challenge. And then all of a sudden you're from there to the reward. You know, it's a long van ride. Anyway, and you get in the van, there's no cameras, so you can't talk without a camera. And everybody's sick, basically. And anyway, I remember we got to the challenge and we won the challenge. So we got to go to the Survivor Theater.
Yes. You know,
and like on the
Jack and Jill.
Heck yeah. Yeah, you got it. And so we're.
You got to see that movie?
Not very much.
It was so good.
Yay. Anyway, but on the, so like when you're walking to the van to go to the challenges and stuff, I mean, everybody's sick. So everybody, you know, you'll be walking along and you'll say, hey man, I got to go. And they'll say, okay, Tyson's got to go right now.
Don't talk me out of this.
So you do your thing, you get a leaf, you go. You know, anyway, and so everybody's used to it. And we get in the van, we're going to the Survivor Theater, and things were rolling really heavy, you know, and they all of a sudden the van stops, and they're back, blacked out vans. You don't know where you're at. And the door opens up, and we're out in this resort, in this beach. You know, big buildings, people everywhere, manicured trail going up the beach with these pretty flowers everywhere, you know, and all these people are coming out. You know, they see these camera crews and stuff, and these people are walking over there, you know, and they're holding them back, you know. And I got out, and Ian was my little handler's name at the time, you know, and I start walking down the beach, and I'm going, man, I got to go. Bad. Really bad, Ian. I got to go. And he looks at me, and he goes, what? I says, you want me to go right here? And he looks around, and he goes, no, not right here. And I says, well, you know. And he goes, just a minute. And he gets on his little radio, and he goes, okay, if you can wait, I'll take you to a bathroom. And I said, a real bathroom? You know, it's been like 20-some-odd days since I've seen a toilet. You know, it's like, serious? And he said, yeah. I says, good, man. I'm there. I'll do what I got to do. Anyway, so we got in there. We had to wait for the show to start, you know. And they get started, and he looks at me and he goes, you ready? And it's like, yeah. So we walk down the beach, and there's a water house, you know, a bathroom there and stuff. And he goes, now, these are the rules, Rick. We covered up the mirror. We took away all the soap. The water's turned off. We did leave you some toilet paper. Can you live by the rules and not try to look at yourself or anything, or do I have to go in with you? And I said, man, you know me, dude. I'm good, you know, but I like to mess with people a little bit. And he goes, okay, I'm going to be outside the door so nobody comes in. I says, cool. I says, but I'm going to take a little while because it's been, you know, weeks since I've sat on a toilet. I don't know how this works at all, but anyway, so he says, good, man, do your thing. So I get in there, and I'm trying to get rid of everything that's going to come in the next month or two, you know, and I forgot I was all mic'd up, and I'm in there just, yeah, you know, who's your mama? It's like, oh, yeah. Anyway, so about 15 minutes, I get done, you know, and I come walking out, and I go, oh, Ian, I busted a tooth. And he goes, what? I said, I think I chipped a tooth. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, man, I shouldn't have done it. I said, I was getting a drink, and that lid hit me in the back of the head, and I think I broke a tooth. And he goes, you're so sick. I remember when I got, you know, we had to go in the little girl on the mic, you know, the mic and me, and I looked at her, and I said, oh, I said, sorry about that. I forgot all about the mic. She goes, oh, we got a good laugh out of it. It's like, oh, cool. Yeah. That was fun.
Did you guys get like a bad coconut? Was everybody all going through that?
Them coconuts are just, yeah, because you get good, bad, and all coconuts are an actual laxative. And yeah, I mean, you'd cough hard. It'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They say no more than 2 coconuts a day until you have your body's acclimated to the coconut water. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as a coconut bandit, did you learn this lesson the hard way?
No, but I acclimated myself to probably 10 to 20 coconuts a day, no problem.
Yeah. Very quickly. Did Tyson, did you have one of these stories you wanted to tell?
Yeah. Have I told the story about sneaking food into the jury already? Have people heard that?
No.
Okay. So on Token Chains, on Survivor in general, you lay awake at night with everybody describing all the food that you're going to buy at Costco when you get home.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is chocolate or peanut butter related or pizza. And I got voted out on Token Chains, and I was like, okay, well, like I don't want to screw up the show, but I want to, you know, give a little needle to the people who voted me out. So I convinced Brendan, who I had blindsided earlier in the season, to sneak a jar of peanut butter, because my skinny shorts were too tight to sneak a jar of peanut butter into the jury. He would sneak it in the crotch of his shorts, and then I would sneak a few chocolate bars down my pants. And then when we got on the jury bench, as they were doing tribal council, he would pop open the peanut butter, and we would dip the chocolate bars and eat and watch Tribal Council while the contestants of the show are watching us.
That is so brutal.
Oh,
and
that's good.
My idea was, okay, I'm going to wait till it's like the peak, till Jeff's like in it, and then we're going to do it. And so Jeff's like getting into the whole Tribal Council thing, and he's like full speed ahead, like into the apex of the Tribal Council. And I'm like, Brendan, now. And he's like, he just shakes his head like that. I'm like, now. And he's like, And I was like, and so finally he looks at me like as it's dying down. He's like, now. And I was like, well, the way you're doing it isn't going to ruin the show like I had initially planned, which his plan was not to ruin the show. So he pops it out. I get peanut butter. We each get a dip and eat. All the contestants just freeze and look at us. And Jeff's still trying to, like, communicate with them, and they're not talking back. So he's like, what's going on? He looks back at us, and he goes, stop! And Brendan drops his immediately, and it's done. And I, like, look him straight in the eye and do another dip and another bite.
Oh, that'd be good.
And Jeff goes, who let Tyson bring that in here? Heads are going to roll. Oh, wow. And I was like,
I'll bet.
And so they, security comes in, snags it from us, takes it from us. Jeff is like fuming. And then our handlers are like terrified for their jobs, which in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have done that to them. And afterwards, the contestants leave. And once the contestants leave tribal council, Jeff comes over and kind of talks to the jury for a little bit. Like, how's it going? You guys having fun? Are they taking care of you? Okay, I pretended like I cared for a little bit. See you later. And he comes over and he's like, you guys, you can't do that. Tyson, how did you even get that in here? And I was like, why do you just assume it was my idea, but why are you assuming? Like, I want to put some of the blame on him. And yeah, he was like, I get it. Like, it sounds kind of funny to do that, but you can't do that anymore. So then after that, they frisked us pretty good before each tribal visit. And I learned that before the next challenge, they gave everybody a chocolate bar with peanut butter on it.
Seriously?
In the game. Yeah.
Yeah. They got soft.
I earned all of those guys a chocolate bar with peanut butter on it.
Backfired.
Dang.
Yeah.
That bugs me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And that Jeff is scary.
Yeah, he got real mad.
It is interesting. There was one of the camera guys on our season who wore a McDonald's visor, and that's all we talked about all day was McDonald's hamburgers. So I get it to an extent. Like, you're seriously so hungry.
Did he piss you guys off?
He just wore, like, or, didn't even think about it. But literally, the camera people, they're not even supposed to chew gum out there because any smells, people would wear mosquito repellent, and it would smell so good. And all of a sudden, we'd start talking about, you know, candy and sugar and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah,
That's brutal, Tyson.
Oh, and you could smell that peanut butter a long ways away. Right. When you're hungry, you can smell it.
And you dream about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that really is a thing that I don't think ever comes through on the TV show, where you are out there for long enough that you have, like, heightened, like, animal, like, sense of smell, where the crew people, like, you can tell, like, particular things that they have, like, eaten or... In my season, like, the guys that would come on, like first thing in the morning, like, you could tell, like, if they had been, like, drinking the night before, like, exactly, like, you know, it's a weird thing that just, you know, you don't pick up on in real life.
But the weird thing is that you to each other don't smell that bad.
No.
So you're like, when people are like, so how's the stink? And you're like, I didn't really notice it. But then if you talk to a crew member, they're like, it's the worst thing. Like, in Tocantins, because it was a freshwater season, at first, the medical doctors and the people who would mic you up would just come in and just do it with their bare hands and stuff. And then they started wearing gloves. And then they started wearing masks and, like, full-arm things. And you're like, is it that bad? So I think it was the other people. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Once in a while, there'd be somebody that, like, really, you know, went off the charts in terms of, like, what they smelled like. So that person must have really, like, for you, the players to know who smelled bad. It's unimaginable.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Jonas, did you have anything?
Yes. Okay, I have a funny one. So one morning, we're just talking about where we go and take a dump. And so I'm like, well, I go in the water, you know, I mean, it's just clean, you know, you don't have any toilet paper out there, so you just clean up right there.
The world's
and,
a day.
Yeah, exactly.
The nature of the day, the ocean.
So Alicia's like, well, I tried that, but I squatted down, and then when the water hit my butt, I just tensed up, and I couldn't go anymore. And I was just like, oh, dude, I have the most disturbing image just flash through my head.
Oh.
So yeah, I don't know why I remember that, but it was like the most disturbing thing. I was like,
burned in your brain.
Please, yeah.
So they didn't school you guys on the aqua dump?
I was an expert in the aqua dump, absolutely.
they don't tell you about them fish that big that have sharp backs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they it's like the dinner bell.
What's disturbing is the fish would eat your poo, and then you'd spear the fish, and you're eating the fish, and you're like,
It's the circle of life, Jonas.
Yeah.
Cue the circle of life theme from Lion King. Yeah.
Jonas, is this why you got out of the sushi business?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why do boys always talk about poop?
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. No. Does Rachel have a story about poop?
Or anything that happened that didn't get shown on TV?
I was going to tell the time I very first met Tyson, and I was with my friend. We were at the mall, and we stop and talk to Tyson, and after a while, we leave, and I was like, who was that guy, and why was he talking about poop? So that's a poop story.
Yeah. But why were you?
It's just a beautiful, natural thing. Like, the human body, you can't, like... You just got to celebrate nature.
Okay. Yeah.
And what turns a girl on more?
Yeah. Was that like a Tyson's pickup line?
It was just this story he was talking about, and I was just like kind of zoning out, and I was like, who was that guy?
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued.
Made an impression. That was good.
I honestly don't remember talking about poop in that moment. I don't remember that at all, but I will take her word for it. It doesn't sound unlike me.
Okay. So I want to start to open it up and get some questions for you guys. So we're a little short on microphones. So if you guys want to just start here and then line up heading towards the wall. I know that the first person is needs to be brave. Yeah, Isaac. Okay.
Do you ever think about going back to the place where you played Survivor to kind of visit those old places? Because I know, Nalia, you mentioned the waterfall, and I like nature, and going back to those places sometimes really interesting.
So my husband and I actually went back to the Marquesas Islands just shortly after we were married. Pascal and Kathy came with us too, so that was awesome. We went out there and spent, I don't know, a couple of weeks. But we went back to the Marquesas Islands. Well, we spent some time in Tahiti too, but when we went back to the islands, it's really interesting because I don't know about the others, but our season was very, very, very remote. We had no idea where the cast stayed, or not the cast, but the crew members. And so we literally felt like we were in the middle of nowhere. So it was really cool as far as that goes. But so when we went back to the island, we had to get guides to take us back to where we were. And we had to go down these big, steep volcanic cliffs. And we brought tents and we brought Snickers candy bars and all these other things that we dreamt about while we were there. But it's funny because we went down there, hiked up to the waterfall one day, but we were done. Like, we slept one night. We were going to stay there for like 3 or 4 nights, but mentally it just still screwed with
you. You went back to like the actual campsite?
Yeah, we went back to our campsite, literally set up a tent, had a fire, ate our Snickers, like hung out, but we were out of there the next day. Like, we didn't want to stay there any longer.
True masochist.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yes, I've been back.
And I know on my season, Jonas was right after my season. And so I'm watching TV, and it's like, that's my old camp. And you guys camped in the same place as we did. And I kept thinking, if you look at that one tree, I got my initials carved over there. But yeah.
How did the fish taste?
Yeah. Kind of like a sushi.
Fish tasted fine on
his. He's the one that got the good stuff. Yeah.
Tasted like Salinas.
Tastes like Angus beef. Yeah. Yeah.
Tyson, have you ever thought about going back to any of the places you played Survivor?
Yeah, I actually went on a Mormon mission to the Philippines, to the exact area where we played Survivor, Rachel and I. So I had seen all the drive up to where we were going 20 years ago. And
that's how you had an advantage.
I had a huge advantage because I had once seen those streets. Yeah. And then, but the one that I think I was most intrigued by was Brazil, because it was just like, it wasn't the jungle, it was kind of deserty. And the water system or the waterways there were the cleanest natural water system in the world. Like, the water was as clear as a swimming pool, and you could drink out of it. They said the people running the show said that the water was cleaner than tap water in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so we would just drink straight out of it. But it was really, really beautiful. Also very remote. But that would be the place that if I had to choose between the three to go back and visit, I would like to go explore that area a little more.
To me, I have no interest in going back to the place. It was fun, but I don't know if I want to like retrace my steps, and especially not the second time where I was. Although the place in the Amazon that they took us to, like it is like this big like nature preserve, and it's like I'm sure if like I think actually Matt from my season has like gone back there and checked it out, but no, I'll pass. I'd probably rather go anywhere else.
Rachel, do you want to go back to the Philippines?
Oh, where we were in the Philippines was so beautiful. I would definitely go back and go back with him. Instead of playing this crazy game against him. But yeah, it would be awesome to go back. Spend a little more time on the island, mm-hmm. you know?
Okay, yes.
All right, I just got a quick question for Nalia. And Nalia, you were on the season with one of my favorite survivors ever, and I know you weren't best friends on the island, but yeah. I loved Sean Rector. He was my hero as a kid. I wanted to be Sean. I know you're against him. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I wasn't against you, though, but no. Do you have any updates? Is he through the grapevine at all? Is yeah. he still teaching? Is he
yeah,
still
he
in
is.
New York?
He's a teacher, and out of Survivor, I love Sean. Like okay, he cool. is such a good guy. He's... Yeah, I really like him on the show. We weren't the best of friends. He drove me crazy. But, no, he's a teacher still. He's got an older son, and he actually just had a little baby girl.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
So, yeah, he's doing great, though.
All right, thank you. There was no RehabCon Harlem, so next time.
Right, he moved back to the East Coast? Is that right?
No, I think he's on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think he's in California.
Okay. I was in touch with him at one point. Like yeah. I had a close call with getting him on the podcast where I had got picked up at the airport and I did like a some sort of car service, and I was talking to the guy, and I usually don't like if somebody asks me, so what do you do? I usually just like say like, oh, I write a blog. Because it's more confusing to like explain what it is that I do to somebody. And I started talking to the guy, and I ended up saying like, yeah, I was on the West Coast and I had just done the know-it-alls. And I said that I was a survivor, and he's like, oh, my friend Sean is a survivor. And so I ended up like exchanging numbers with this guy. And then like I had he ended up putting me in contact with Sean. And I had a talk with him at one point, and we got close to doing something, and then it just like fizzled out.
I think Sean is a great character. I mean, going back and watching it from a fan's point of view, he made great TV. And we could get him on your show.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to. You know, he was not keeping up with the episode. So it was just sort of like talking about like what he did. But I said, you know, that would be fun. But I think at one point he was like, hey, I'm moving on Saturday, so I need to do the podcast before that. It's like, okay, well, I wasn't able to do it in that timeline. Okay. And then it didn't work out. But hopefully one day. All right. Yes. Here, come on over here, Terry.
All right. This is for Rachel. Oh. When Survivor Blood versus Water aired, I assumed you watched it each week with Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At what point did you suspect Tyson had made it deep into the game, and what made you think that?
At what point did I think Tyson made it far in the game?
I told her the second I got home.
I'm like, can I say that? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Okay.
So about 6 months before the first episode.
Yeah. But not everybody necessarily would do that. I mean,
we both signed the non-disclosure agreement, right. So it was fine for me to say. And yeah.
But this was a unique situation where it's like you would have like Rachel in talking to other people in the cast, like there was no way that you could hid that. I'm pretty sure when Rob went on Redemption Island, like I think he told, like I don't think he told Amber that he had won, right? Like he.
I don't know.
I think that sounds familiar. Yeah. So I mean, it's been done before, but when you're on the same season, like you're gonna end up talking to other people that are like on the jury,
yeah.
And they are gonna tell you about how Tyson's in the final three. Okay, let's keep going. Another question. Yes. Come on up.
Hi, I feel like when we're talking about Utah survivors, then we can kind of talk about Mormon survivors. So I wanted to hear about how being Mormon or Mormon adjacent affected your survivor experience.
So I am Mormon, but I completely avoided that topic because I saw what happened to Nalia. And so I told the producers, they're like, so are you going to tell everybody that you're Mormon? I'm like, no, because I don't want to get Nalia'd.
Can I ask you a question? So, when you
hey,
say,
it got me further than you.
Yeah, when you...
Ow!
I just want to make an important distinction. So when you talk about, that you didn't want to get Nalia'd, are you saying that you didn't want to have the other players perceive you of a certain way, or you didn't want to be depicted on the show to the audience a certain
way? Yeah, I just didn't want them to use my religion against me when I had to stab people in the back. That's
right.
Yeah.
The other players.
Exactly.
Right. Can I ask a question in terms of like casting and production? Like, how interested in that did they seem? Did you guys get the sense that they really wanted that to be a story beat on the show, like something they really wanted to explore?
Yeah. Jeff asked me, like, oh, you know, I know you're Mormon. And like, he asked me a bunch of questions. And he said something about a Relief Society hug, or he's like, I mean, I don't know, it's a Mormon inside joke, but I was surprised at how much he knew about Mormons. It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember they asked me, I got in there, you know, of course, when you go to your interviews with the big CBS, Mark Burnett and those guys, and they sit you down and they ask you, you know, who you are, where you're from, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I got there, and this might be kind of a bad thing to tell people, but anyway, I remember I got on there, and old Burnett's got a little guy there, you know, was one of his helpers and stuff, and they says, where are you from? And I said, Utah. And he goes, are you a Mormon? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, how do you feel about smoking, drinking, and sex? And I looked at him and I said, well, I've done all three, and I quit the one because it left a bad taste in my mouth. He kind of looked at me and I says, you know which one, don't you? And he kind of gave me a dirty look, and it's like, okay, you know, we're good. Oops. Delete that, would you?
Katie, which one was it?
Yeah, don't tell.
Nalia, when you played early on, and obviously there hadn't been anybody else who was Mormon that was on the show, did you feel like that the producers wanted to know a lot about, you know, your perspective on things?
So I feel like... I didn't really feel like it was a big part of my experience, to be honest. I got the whole Relief Society hug or something, too. So that just must be something that they just talk about.
Can I suppose, I have no idea what that is.
It's just like, so...
I don't know what that is.
So the Relief Society is like like women. It's like a, you know, it's just a women's organization in the church that goes out and, you know, helps all that anyways. So I didn't feel
at
like...
At the end of the show, she'll give you a Relief Society hug.
Exactly.
Not
no,
a dirty
I didn't
joke,
feel like it was a
it?
Big... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I feel like...
Look it up on Urban Dictionary.
Relief Society.
Honestly, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, when we were out on the show before we even left, I mean, I was kind of scared because Rob's... not Boston Rob, because he was on our season two, but the general.
Yeah.
He brought a voodoo doll, so I was totally freaked out, right? I mean... Here I am, this like Mormon girl from Utah, and here I am next to this
Where
guy.
Where did the general get a voodoo doll?
I don't know, and he's like the biggest teddy bear, so I would even bring one of those anyway. But honestly, I didn't think that it was a huge deal as far as casting and all that stuff went.
Okay. All right, let's get some more questions. Okay. You have a second one? Okay.
I have a second one.
All right.
This is
Ran from Rudy. Okay, Ran from... All right, this is a mulligan.
When you were voted out on day 37, you were voted out by Albert, Coach,
mm-hmm.
and Sophie. And after being voted out, Coach tried to hug you. And
Relief Society hug.
You reach, reach around. Yeah.
And but you angrily told him to sit down, and it looked like you and Coach would never see eye to eye, and he would never vote for you. Yet in the end, you did vote for him.
Yeah.
And how did you go from disliking him so much to voting for him to receive the $1 million?
Oh, I was so pissed off. I remember I got, because just before, you know, and you know the feeling. It was like when you're a kid and, you know, playing games and you're the last one to get picked, you know, and stuff. And just before tribal council, I couldn't find anybody. You know, they all just disappear. And I'm looking for camera booms or something to find them, you know, because the deal was we were supposed to kick out Albert. Anyway, and I kept thinking, okay, dude, it's coming. I'm gone. They're going to kick me out. And I ran it. I found Coach finally down in the jungle. And I says, hey, man. I says, what's going on? I can't find nobody. And he says, oh, Sophie threw you under the bus. I says, what do you mean? I said, we're supposed to take Albert out tonight. And he goes, no, Sophie threw you under the bus. And I says, are you going to vote for me? And he goes, no, as a man of God, Rick, honest, I will not put your name down. And I knew at that time he was lying to me, you know, and you get there and yeah, and he hugged everybody. As soon as you got voted out, he'd get up and give you a hug, you know, and I remember he, you know, they voted me out, of course, and he gets up to give me a hug, and it's like, yeah, stick it. No, you know, I'm not going to hug. And I said, just sit down. And I remember when that was day 37, day 39, they came into Ponderosa. And I remember, and they give you, you know, like a jar of peanut butter and a little bag of stuff, you know, when you first get kicked off. Anyway, and I kept the peanut butter, and I had everybody that was on the jury in Ponderosa sign it for me, except Coach. And I remember all the people, you know, there, the production people would say, hey, Coach wants to talk to you. And I looked at him, go tell him to pack sand in his butt. I said, I'm not going to talk to him. You know, I'd had it with him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but we got home and we talked a little bit and everything. Yeah, went down to his wedding and stuff, and we're pretty good friends. And he's a nice guy, you know, and it was just money, you know, it was just, you know, it's a game for $1 million. And when I finally put his name down, I went over there to the, where you sign, you know, put their name down. And it's a ways, you know, when you first get there, Jeff says he'll walk over there and he'll start talking to you and you can't hear him. You know, he says, we want you to speak freely when you're over there doing your vote, you know, and so it's all cool and stuff. And I remember I got over there and I was going to vote for Sophie. And I thought, well, who really played the game the best, in my opinion? And Coach did. I mean, he stabbed a lot of folks. But yeah, when you're mad, you're mad. Yeah, you guys have been married. You know what it is. Just,
yeah. His, I think Coach's worst mistake was hugging people as he voted him out. Like, because the last thing you want is physical contact with the one guy who spearheaded your ouster or stabbed you in the back. And honestly, every time he stood up, I loved watching all the awkward hugs. But every time I was like, he's just digging himself a deeper hole.
And, you know, he famously, like, in the previous season that he played on Heroes versus Villains, you know, he goes to hug Rob as Rob is going out.
Yeah.
And Rob said to him, you're a little man, Coach. So he just didn't get that takeaway of, like, no, people
don't
want
that. You're supposed to learn a lesson every time you play the game, and Coach didn't learn the don't hug the person you just slit their throat.
Yeah.
Like, let them cool off a little bit before you start trying to pander to them.
Yeah.
But, Rick, going back to what you said when you talked about how, you know, Coach is, you know, swearing to you and bringing God into it, you know, I swear to God. And there was a lot of that going on in South Pacific, especially with everything that, you know, Coach is selling a bill of goods to Brandon also along the way. I mean, does that kind of thing not sit well with you still?
Yeah, because I mean, I remember Brandon, he went up, you know, and when we was going to take out Albert, when we took out Brandon, and I remember it was just before tribal council, and Brandon, of course, was a loose cannon anyway. I mean, this guy's just bipolar, is crazy, and just goofy, and he had the immunity necklace.
I feel like you're on a murder list.
Yeah, no kidding, it is bad. Katie and I are going to run to the woods here in a minute. But yeah, anyway, and we got there, and we're just getting ready to go. You know, they call it lockdown. When you walk out for the cameras to go to tribal council, you know, and they're saying, okay, 5 minutes to lockdown, and when they say lockdown, there's no talking, and they make sure you do not talk. Anyway, Brandon came over to me, and he says, I'm going to give Albert my immunity necklace. And I said, what are you thinking, dude? We're going to take him out tonight. And he goes, well, he told me that God told him to give him, for me to give him the necklace. You know, and it's like, are you kidding me? Did you see him anywhere in here? You know, it's like, Brandon, you know, but Brandon was, he was a deeply religious kid. And And I'm looking at him going, no, don't do it, don't do it. So I looked at Coach and I said, hey, man, you know, he's going to give that necklace to Albert.
Yeah.
And that's when Coach right then and there says, okay, we'll take Brandon out. And I thought, not me. Good deal. We'll take him out. And yeah.
Because one of the things that he does is, you know, like he says to Brandon, like Brandon's asking, like, what are you going to do? And he says, well, I will ask God what to do.
Yeah.
And like he blamed it on God.
Yeah,
he's like, it wasn't me. I don't want
to. When he gave him the awkward hug, he whispered in his ear and said it was God's will or something.
Yeah, God gave me the name. I just wrote it down. I'm just the vessel.
Don't blame
me.
Instrument of God.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, you do what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The big guns. Yeah.
It's intense. It's intense. Okay. Yes. Here's Tyler. Right, Tyler, the salad guy.
Salad on salad.
Yes.
So we've already gotten a really great Coach and Boston Rob impression. I personally am listening to a South Pacific Evolution of Strategy. And Rob, you do a great Jonas impression. I was just hoping that...
Oh, it's going to be good.
I was just hoping you could do that Jonas impression for us.
First off, that my friend Jonas played on Survivor One World, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I would say that I'm rusty.
I gotta get this on video.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, I'm being drowned out by my kids. Yeah. So, guys, I'm out of the sushi game. I'm now dealing in the cryptocurrency. And Chelsea, I just want to say, me and the guys have been talking, and you're a 10 out of 10. How much longer do I have to go, Jonas?
Thank you. Couldn't have done it better myself.
Very half-assed, and thank you for not getting very angry with me. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yes, okay. All right. Right here. Come on over. This is question corner right here. Okay.
Okay, this question's for all of you guys. I'm just wondering, and for those of you who played multiple seasons, you can answer for every season, but who was your favorite person to play with? Not necessarily your closest ally, but just your favorite person to play with.
Go ahead, Tyson.
There'll be multiples here. Yeah.
Multiples?
Yeah.
Token Chains. Steven is my best friend from that season. And in the moment, Coach probably was, though I do realize at the end he did screw my game up a little bit. But when I first met him, I really liked him, and he was super, super loyal to me, which also tied me closer to him knowing how loyal he was to me. So in that moment, it was Coach, but I think over time and in general, I didn't spend much time with Steven because I only was a few days after the merge, and that's the only chance we had to interact, but we got along really well then. Heroes, villains, Boston Rob at that point, yeah. So I mean, my best friend from that season is Boston Rob, and we stay in touch a lot, so... And he was fun to play with, and he also was kind of the same frame of mind as me as far as a player. And then Philippines or Bloodwater.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodwater won. Rachel, obviously.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Yeah, good answer.
I was worried you weren't going to see that.
And Jervis.
Mine... And he did vote me off the island. But I actually really loved playing with Brad Culpepper.
What'd you think about Brad this past season?
I was so surprised by Brad. You know, when I played with him before, I didn't really feel like he knew what he was doing. He was just kind of calling the shots really quick, not much thought behind it. But this last season, he really surprised me. He's smart. And he did really good and made it to the end. But yeah, he cracked me up the whole time. The guy has so much energy, and he would try to break every rule possible. So he was not on good side with production at all. We have this stuff we call a bug juice. It's like a sunscreen, mosquito repellent stuff that you can rub on. And he would coat himself till he was white and just be like rubbing it in. And then he'd get right into the picture of whoever was talking to who. And he'd be in the background like, hey. And production all the time had to be like, Brad, you can't do that. Got to get out of the picture. So anyway, he was really entertaining.
Mine was probably Brandon. He was crazy, but he was fiercely loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell you exactly what's going
back
on.
Back off the
murder list. Yeah, heck yeah.
Well played, Rick. Yeah, off the murder list.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. It's not really
I also want to say that I liked playing with Brandon, a great guy.
Yeah.
Can't say enough good things.
Great guy. Great guy. Rick, you know, one of the things that in interviewing a lot of people from your season that I feel like that Sophie has said and Jim has said is that if Brandon was in the final three, he would have won. Is that, do you think that that is an accurate assessment?
I do believe so, yeah. I mean, that kid, he, you know, because they'll tell you, you know, before you go to vote, you know, who played the game the best, not who ticked you off, who, but, and I think he, I mean, he was a game player.
Yeah.
He was crazy. Crazier than a
And he was just so earnest that people would have rewarded him.
Yeah. Either you liked him, you hated his guts. But, you know, if you looked at it, you know, he played the game good, but he, yeah, well, to a fault when God says something,
mm-hmm.
he's done. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or somebody says that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just, someone else.
He just can't interpretate who it was. You know, was it really him or you? Yeah.
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 All right, Nalia.
Okay. So obviously, Pascal was my buddy out there. We had just a really good, just, you know, father-daughter type of relationship. But the person that I really loved to play with was Kathy. She is one of the coolest chicks you've ever met. Like, she really is so much fun. She is so crazy, but she kept life out there super entertaining. And, you know, something was different every day. So she was probably one of my favorite people to play with.
So this is kind of a curveball, but in a sick, twisted way, I really enjoyed playing with Colton. It was like every second was just this twist, and you were just like, oh my gosh, did he just say that? Did he really just do that? And it was just, it was so entertaining to watch this guy because he was such a random loose cannon.
Did he ever break character for you? Because I feel like I still don't really know. Like, was he trying to do some performance for the TV show as opposed to who he really was as a person?
I do think that he did play it up a lot. And I mean, if you act that way in real life, you'd probably get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think he's really not like that in real life. Rachel, but yeah, he did kind of.
I have to say, I spent a lot of time with Colton, and he is like that in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that's where that was going. To be honest, I thought she was going to have the same story as you.
No, Colton's great, though. I mean, he does have a good heart. I mean, he.
Yeah.
Well, he does. He's entertaining. He has that crazy side though too. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that was played up on the show because I saw a lot of that after the show, and there were times where I'm like, "Where are the cameras right now?" Because there was so much drama with Colton after the show. It was entertaining for me.
The thing with Colton, I think too, is he owns it. You know, he says totally inappropriate things and things that make you laugh because he says things that nobody else would, but he will own his stuff.
So. And then he quits the game before you can vote him out, realizing. So, short Colton story. He was trying to pit me and Aris against each other. So he would come to me and be like, Aris is trying to vote you out. And then he'd come to Aris and be like, Tyson's trying to vote you out. And then me and Aris met up in the bushes and were like, hey, Colton's trying to vote us each out. You know that, right? And he's like, yeah. And Colton had came to me and be like, let's throw the next challenge and we'll vote Aris out then. I was like, said, okay. And he went to Aris and said, let's throw the next challenge and we'll vote Tyson out. And he said, okay. And then during the challenge, we tried throwing it
and we tried getting Colton to be the main guy to throw it. And when we were talking about this strategy, me and Aris were crying, laughing so hard, thinking about Colton botching the challenge and then voting him out after he is the one that's like, we should throw this challenge. But he quit before we could get him.
Yeah. Jonas, you would think that, like, volunteering to go to tribal council, he wouldn't be on board with a plan like that.
Yeah. That was, and I, you know, I went along with it. That was probably the dumbest move I've ever done in my life, so.
Yeah. That you feel like that really did end up hurting you because losing Bill was a number that would have been with the men?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it hurts to think about it. I mean, it was just a dumb move.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if, yeah, anyway.
That had to be anonymous, or unanimous, right?
Unanimous, absolutely.
Unanimous, everybody 100%. Had to say.
Everybody had so to one, agree with it, yeah.
So why did everybody agree with it?
Why did everybody agree with it? Somebody had to feel like they were on the bottom.
People
why
were
did
afraid.
That person
afraid
so, yeah,
to,
it was
yeah.
kind of like, if, you know, because at that point, Colton had the idol, and, you know, he's a loose cannon. If you say one thing.
A little
thing
bit of a bully.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, if I say no, then, you know, I'm the person that ruined his plan, and I'll be next. And so it's kind of like, whatever.
Because I'll tell you something. If I know that I'm on the bottom, I would vote not to go to tribal council every single
but
time.
But in fairness, right, Jonas, that the, like Bill, who was on the bottom, like they were telling him, like, oh no, we're going to, we're mad at Leaf or something. Like they like told him that they were going to tribal council to vote off somebody else.
So nobody,
the same way it was be like a regular blind.
So nobody thought they were on the bottom. At
right.
that point.
No, well, no, and we knew Bill was going home.
Right.
So I was like, that's fine.
So he was going to go home either way, evening or day.
Except the way that the tribe had already won immunity and they weren't going to tribal council.
Yeah.
He was not going home if they would have held, you know.
I think even if I was on the top but didn't have immunity, I would not have voted to go to tribal council.
Yeah. Let's
but that's just the veteran multi-time player.
Nancy, come on.
Okay.
Hi, I just had a question for Nalia. I was really interested when you said that you thought your outdoorsy camping and fishing and stuff would be helpful on Survivor. What was the reality when you were actually playing the game? Did it help you?
So, yeah, a lot of it. I mean, just being outdoors was really not the hardest element of Survivor for me. It was the food, and honestly, the food was the very worst. But, yeah, growing up outdoors, I mean, we were used to hiking and camping and, you know, not foraging for your food necessarily, but I feel like it prepared me mentally. Like I didn't have a hard time mentally other than the food aspect.
I think you'd be surprised on the, you know, when you go to survivor school, when you first land in Samoa, you go to survivor school, they tell you, you know, what'll kill you, what won't kill you. And I was surprised when we got there to camp on the people that could not build a fire. I mean, you're going to go on this, wouldn't you? You know, try to build a fire with a bow or something. But I was amazed that people did. None of them. It was crazy.
Taking the opposition here a little bit. There's a lot of incompetence on the show. So when other people see me on the street and they're like, I really want to play Survivor, but I don't know how to start a fire or anything. I was like, have you seen the people on that show? All you need is one person to know how to start a fire, and then you're taken care of. All you need is one person who kind of has like a little ambition to build a shelter, and you're okay. So it's relying on the group, really. And if you, like Nalia is saying that camping stuff helped her, it helped her cope in those moments where someone who hadn't done all those things would probably not take in that stuff as well as she did, and so maybe more of a mental breakdown. But as far as doing it or not, I think 99% of the healthy human population could figure it out as long as they're put with 20 other people.
Okay, let's do a few more questions. See, now everybody has questions. Okay.
And I do feel really quick that Survivor on my season was much different than Survivor is now. Like, it was all about the survival aspect of it. So it's like if you didn't contribute around camp, like, there's not one time on our season that anyone ever took a nap. If you were found napping or laying down, like, you would have been voted out. And now it's like, it's not like that. It's more of the social game, whereas back then it was more about the survival.
I'm old. I gotta have a nap.
Okay, so my question's more for Jonas, Nelly, and Rick. If you, any of you, would ever consider doing Bloodwater, and who you would want to go play with?
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but at one time I was supposedly in the running. I got an email and there was three drop down selections. It was like not right now, maybe, and hell yes. And I was like, hell yes. So mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to play with my wife. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd take Chris, my husband, with me.
Yeah, and I got the same email. Yeah. And it was for, I think it was when you guys were on. Anyway, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Every former contestant got that email.
And I was gonna say,
I think some of them didn't. I think
really?
I think there were some people like, hey, I didn't get the email. What was happening? Yeah. What happened to me?
Because they were trying to get a pour of poop.
Yeah. It was good. So, of course, my wife, Katie, and she kind of got wigged out, you know, and the next day after the email and the stuff, we sent it off. And she's going, oh, what if we go? What if we go? And I said, just in the morning when you get up and take your shower and you're in your underwear, just go to work and get people used to seeing your underwear. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
But she didn't go to the hospital in underwear, but yeah.
All right, let's do some more questions. We're going to go about like 10, 15 more minutes, and then we'll break, and then we'll have the feud. Okay. All right. Ryan. You guys can make a line over here, and then we'll save some time. Okay? Here we go. Here's Ryan.
Hey, y'all. My question's for Nalia. Having played well in season 4 early on, is there a time period you would like to play again with all the new evolutions of the game?
So, I love Survivor. I've watched every season, every episode, and I would love to play with the new generation of Survivors, for sure.
You cutthroat. I don't think you could handle it.
Whatever.
Just kidding. But
no,
I have
seriously.
Along the same line, do you have more to that or no? What twist would you like to play with the most now that there's all these twists in the game? Is there one that you would really love for yourself to like utilize, and which one would it be?
So I love the fact that they brought hidden immunity idols. So I would love to play with hidden immunity idols right now. And the thing with me is like, I'm not, the reason why I think it'd be fun to play with kind of these new players of Survivor is I think a lot of them kind of like, well, where, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I'm not one of those people who, when I meet you or somebody says something, that I instantly can like spout something off and be witty and quick and funny. But like, I internalize everything so much, and I internalize every person, like their personalities. I worked in the psych ward for a long time, so I feel like I'm really good at like reading people. So anyway, that's why it would be really fun for me now, because I feel like I could really work that.
Next question.
Shut it.
Yeah. Can you please give us a psychological evaluation of all of us up here? What's your read on me? Would we do well together? Would you vote me out first?
I think you would like me, Tyson.
Would I vote you out first?
No, I think you could trust me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Okay. Diego.
Thank you. So if each of you were to be asked to be brought back on Survivor, what would be your ideal theme for that season outside of like the Boston Rob Redemption Island treatment?
Burn.
For who?
I would love to be on an old school, new school. I think that would be so, so, so fun.
I'm drawing a blank, guys. Sorry.
I would like to see the Utah family versus the California family.
Yeah. Anything with a Redemption Island, like I know the Boston Rob Redemption Island thing you mentioned, but if the Redemption Island twist was incorporated in the game, that definitely benefits me. So I would like, I mean, the more money, the merrier. So if I could heighten my chances of winning the show again, that would be perfect.
I want the Cochrane Redemption Island, though.
What's the Cochrane Redemption Island?
You know where you show up to Redemption Island and you get out on a boat and you eat and Cochrane comes and hangs out
Cochrane
with
you. Comes to visit you.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Like Debbie had this past season.
Rachel, what would be your ideal setup?
Oh, my ideal. I had my ideal setup. I had Redemption Island and I still didn't do very well with that one, but it's great to get voted off and then still be able to have a chance to get back in.
Also playing with new players, there is a big learning curve to the show, and it does, like, you always wonder why the returning player in a cast of all newbies always does so well when you should just vote them out first, and you should. If any of you get on the show and there's a returning player on that show, vote them out. But they always know what they're doing. They always know what they're doing, and they always can take the lead, and they've been there before. And so you end up, you know, trusting them. And they're prepared to slit throats because they've had their throat slit before.
Mm-hmm. They're ready. Okay. I would go back, first survivor, Ghost Pepper Island. Drew.
Hey, when you guys were done playing Survivor, was it hard to get back to real life?
Yes. Yeah, I was in a major funk. I was like sitting in the Lehigh Library, like checking my email, and I was just looking around. I'm like, what's going on? Because you're like, you go from like this adrenaline level 10 stimulation to like, just normal life, and you're like, whoa, dude, what just happened to me? So, yeah, for like 3 months, I would say, I was in this really weird funk.
For me, it was hard to get used to. Like, when we left Survivor, I remember walking through the airport and went into the bathroom, and this lady was complaining that there wasn't a hook to hang her coat. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then another lady was complaining because the water wasn't warm to wash her hands. And for me, it was just, I was very hyper-focused on all of the things that we take for granted every day. So it was really hard for me to just kind of get back into the routine of things, because I feel like when you're left with nothing, it makes you appreciate everything. And so I was super annoyed with people who I felt like just lived on such a superficial level.
Oh, yeah. And I remember when I got back, of course, I was pretty sick, but I remember I got back in the first night. You know, I get back to the ranch, and Katie and we go back in the bedroom, and I'm looking at the bed, and I says, well, and I didn't want to get in the bed. I says, can we sleep on the floor? And I remember she looked at me, and she goes, what? I says, we got a roof over our head. There's no bugs. It's soft. I says, let's just sleep on the floor. And she goes, are you nuts? And I says, really? Just, you know, and she goes, no, get in bed. So I had to get in bed. But, yeah, I mean, I just, and then.
Why did you want to sleep on the floor, though?
I hadn't been in a bed for. Well, when I got in Ponderosa, I don't know if you guys know or not, but I had a tent with a fan. When you go to the jury, you had a one-man tent and a fan and a sleeping bag. And that was like, because I slept, you know, you sleep in the dirt for 37 days. And I just didn't want to give that up, I guess. I didn't want to seem like I was, you know, civilized again, I guess. But it was just, and, you know, and I just really didn't, I guess when you get in bed, it's over with or something. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I didn't want to do it.
It's like you wake up from the survivor dream if you get in bed.
Yeah, heck yeah. You wake up and it's like, it was just a dream. Yeah.
And Coach was there and Brandon.
Not in bed with me, I hope.
That was a nightmare.
Yeah, he's way too tall. He needed to hang out.
Now, Rick, don't think anything of it.
Yeah. It takes a little time to acclimate back, and part of it is just like there's not a real tight schedule on Survivor. It's like there's a challenge one day, there's a challenge the next day, and then there's nothing besides that unless you go to Tribal Council. And so coming back and then dealing with your phone again and emails and stuff, I remember it taking me quite a while to get through, not even that many emails, just taking my time to get back to technology, and I'm fully addicted again. But yeah. Like, you got to wean yourself back onto the addiction a little bit. If you go jump in hot turkey, I think would be the saying, it's too much.
There is something that is amazing about going through that experience where you do come back with an appreciation of like all these things that you do take for granted. It's just like, and when you're out there, I think you think like, oh, I'm never going to take anything for granted ever again. It's impossible. It's just impossible to, you know, to hold on to that. But it is like, you know, it feels like it's going to be like, I'll never be, you know, you're like, Uncle Scrooge on Christmas morning. It's like, oh, what a fool I've been. I took everything in my life for granted. It's just, it's very, it's, yeah. You know, it's like, fleeting.
I'll always appreciate peanut butter for the rest of my life. And then 2 weeks later, you're throwing tubs of peanut butter away because it's 2 months before the expiration date. And you're like, I'm American again.
I was just curious, at what point when you are getting on the show do you meet the other people you're playing with? Is when you get on the island or whatever, or is it before?
Take it away, Rachel.
When did you meet Tyson?
No, it's
for most seasons, I think it's you get on the island and it's all of a surprise of who you are playing with. In our situation, I think we had kind of heard kind of who was going out, and it was, you know, rumors and things. And
so you guys didn't fly out with
a cast and you fly out with each other and you spend the week with them without talking.
Right. Like, I know when I played the first time, we all like went to Miami, and then we were told like, okay, be in the lobby at like 5 o'clock with your stuff. And then that was the first time you saw the other people from your cast. And we went for All Stars. Like, we went to a, like, all in a hotel room, and I was like with my tribe. I didn't know they were my tribe, but like, I was just with six people. But on Blood versus Water, were you guys just with like a handler and the two of you, or you were with the whole cast?
The whole cast, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's how it was with you guys, right? You travel down there with the whole cast. So you see the other people before the, yeah.
Until you hit the island.
Yeah, no talking whatsoever. And you're at the finals with them, so you're kind of, you know, size them up. And we had, I had names for all of them, like, oh, Dawn, you know, the BLU professor. Yeah. I had her name Mrs. Brady because she looked like off the Brady Bunch.
What would my name have been? Yeah.
Well, we can't say it right here in front of the TV. With or without the hat. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. Yeah, no talking, all that 13-hour flight out there, no talking, and then you sit there and stare at each other and try to size each other up. But yeah.
And you guys have already started to touch on this just a little bit, but after you've been voted off and you either go home or you go to the jury, we keep wondering what life is like at that point. You're sitting in the jury, you're waiting, everything's still filming. What do you guys do, and what are your conditions there?
Oh, heck, you ready for this? When they voted me out, they take you to they put you in a van. You know, you have to go down and say your final words for the camera. Then they put me in a van. It's like the smell thing. I remember we started driving down the beach, and the windows were up. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning by the time the tribal council's over, and all of a sudden the windows just drop. You know, and they all kind of looked at me and thought, oh, I stink, huh? Yeah, and they said, yeah. And they took me to a tent, and they had Dr. Ramon was there, and they check you out, you know, and I was, you know, I had my fingernails were falling out, my toenails were falling out, my hair was going bad. You know, I was in kind of bad shape. And she says, anything you want right now, anything, what do you want? We'll get you anything you want. And I looked at her and I said, serious? And she said, yeah. I says, I want an ice cream cone with a chocolate top. And she said, are you kidding me? And I said, no.
Chocolate dip.
And she goes, most people want a cold beer or something. I said, no, that's, you know. And we're in Samoa out in the jungle, and got pretty quick. You know, about 5 minutes later, here comes this little kid running in there, and he's got ice cream running down his elbow. And he says, here you go, man, just for you. And it's like, cool, you know. And, but the bad part about it is after the coconuts, all that stuff, don't eat ice cream.
Oh, boy.
Bad deal.
Okay. And then last question, Martha.
Okay, it's a simple question. It's for all of you. As we know, the next season is Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. So which of the three are each of you?
Okay. Rachel.
Or a hero. Or a hero. Healer or hustler?
She's probably a healer. She's like a caregiver.
Yeah.
Like,
you have a lot of stuff from Goop.
I'd say I'm a healer. Yeah.
A healer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Healer.
She's a healer. I would probably be in the hustler category, even though Rachel tells me I'm a hero all the time.
Go for it.
I probably would be more the hero category. I think I'd get cast as hero. Is there a hero?
Hero, hustlers, and
yep.
Healer.
Well, why, Jonas? What did you think?
Healer. Hero. Healer.
I think people think that I'm a healer, but I'm actually a hustler.
Yeah.
Healer's clothing.
Most dangerous kind of hustler.
Yes.
And I'd be a healer, I think. Not a hustler, huh?
Nah. Maybe a hero.
You're a hero.
Yeah.
A hustler or a hero? What do we think?
Yeah.
Hero. Yes. Okay.
Gee, thanks. I'll change my hat. I'll get a white one next time. Yeah.
And what am I? Hustler. Okay. Consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House of Slytherin.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Any final thoughts? Because then what I'm thinking we'll do is maybe take like a 5-10 minute intermission, and then I'll set up for the Family Feud, and then we'll get ready for that. Anything else that you guys want to say?
This is great.
You guys want to? You guys want to? Promote anything or tell anybody to check something out?
Nalia, you making that movie or that writing that book or what you got going on?
To where the food truck is.
Where's the food truck?
Yeah. Where
what is
it?
The food truck's name? How can we find it? Do you have an Instagram for it?
Whoa, well, since I got a platform.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Marquesas Corn Dogs. I've got Instagram and Facebook, and then Lipstick by Nalia on Facebook and Instagram also.
Okay.
4 to 18 hour smudge proof makeup, y'all.
Ooh.
All right, Jonas, can you share any cryptocurrency news with
trends.
Us? Because Tyson is saying to wait to get back in on the Bitcoin.
Wait for a dip.
He thinks it's too high right now.
I think it is in a little bit of a bubble, but you know, the last time I thought that it went up like $2,000. There is an ICO, an initial coin offering, with a company called Filecoin.
Filecoin.
That's going on right now. I think that's a really good one. And then there's another one coming out that's called Kin. It's a coin that is on top of the Kick platform. I think that one's going to be really good too. So, but you can't go wrong with Bitcoin and Ethereum. That's kind of like a no-brainer,
that's
in my
good.
Opinion.
That's
I'm
good.
Not. I am not a financial advisor, by the way.
Yes, Tron, where are you?
Yeah. Should we wait for a dip before we buy more Bitcoin? It's going to dip again.
Wait? Okay, we'll ask him.
I'm not a financial advisor either.
Yeah. He just plays one on the podcast.
Tron, what's your unofficial... We're not going to hold you liable for any of it. I'm saying wait. Wait a little bit. It's going to dip again.
Yeah. He says yes. Agrees with Jonas. Wait. Okay. Jonas, how many Bitcoin should Survivor change the price to?
Man.
40 Bitcoin?
Yeah. Oh, at least. No, we're talking like, yeah, I can't do the math that
100
quick,
Bitcoin
yeah,
should
absolutely.
Be the new price.
I would go right now. If it was 100 Bitcoin, 100%.
I mean, eventually that's going to be worth more than $1 million. How much is 100 Bitcoin right now? 400,000?
Okay, we're...
Whatever, we're boring people.
We're losing people.
People. So sorry for that.
Going to the next podcast.
We'll edit that
now.
Out. We'll edit that out.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to, Rick?
Eat American beef.
Eat American beef.
Yay, America!
Oh, so real quick, I did create a little show with my producer friend, Josh Legary. You can go on YouTube. It's called Food with Famous People. And white Rice Wednesday. So just YouTube it. It's kind of funny. You don't like it, share it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Rachel, Tyson, anything else?
You guys, I'm designing the cutest little girl's clothing. And it's being manufactured right now, so it hasn't launched yet. But it's called Love Blooms. And you guys should follow me on Instagram because I'm going to announce it soon. But it's going to be really cute stuff.
Good deal.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep my gambling addiction to a minimum.
Yeah. And I am looking for a volunteer to watch my kids so Nicole could play in the Family Feud. Okay, so reach out during the break. Thank you guys so much. Give it a big hand for these guys. Thank you so much for coming out to this. We really, really appreciate it. I think these guys also really appreciate it. If you listen to the podcast version or if you're here, we've got a lot of Survivor 35 preseason stuff coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. Subscribe to the podcast, robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Thank you guys so much, and we'll be back with The Feud in a couple minutes.
Mount Rushmore of Utah Survivors right up here. All right, everybody, that was our Survivor panel from RehabCon from Saturday afternoon. Right after that, we took a quick intermission and then we came right back and played the Survivor Family Feud. Let me give a quick shout out to the tabulator, Kurt Clark, who created the survey for our Survivor Family Feud and got that out to over 100 of our patrons who filled it out. And we took the responses from the first 100 of our patrons that got back to us. So also a big shout out to everybody who took the time to fill out the survey to play in the Survivor Family Feud. Before we get to the game, let me also thank our other sponsor today. Those are our friends over at TrueCar. Because there's something about TrueCar,
A lot of people don't know. 100 people survey, top two answers on the board. Name something that True Car can help you buy. New car, yes, of course. And what? Oh, wait, another answer. Used car, too. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the True Car certified dealer network. You'll get to see what other people paid for the car so you know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. And with True Car, you can connect with a local certified True Car dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a faster car buying experience. And using TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want. Best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. All right, on your marks, let's start the Survivor Family Feud from RehabCon this past Saturday.
Let's start the Utah Survivor Family Feud. Please welcome the Jonas Brothers family. Jonas, Nalia, Nicole, and Rick taking on Tyson's Apostles. Tyson, Rachel, and Danny all here on the RehabCon Family Feud. And here's the star of the RehabCon Family Feud, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. I'm so excited to be here to play the feud with you. We need to start to lower the music now at this point. Very excited. We had a great Survivor panel, a great News AF panel, and I'm very excited to bring you the main event, the Survivor Family Feud. First, let's meet the Utah Survivors, the Jonas Brothers. And first off, welcome Jonas and Suji. Jonas, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you so much, man. Thank
How do you feel today going into this, Jonas?
I feel amazing, invigorated, and
sexy.
Happy. Yeah. Happy. Happy and sexy.
Okay. Nalia, I can't kiss you in the traditional Family Feud manner because my wife is standing right next to you, but how are you?
Good. Thanks. I'm feeling handshakes. Mean and grumpy and ugly.
Whoa. Mean and grumpy. Why? Why is that? All right, here is Nicole Sesternino. Nicole, how are you?
Good. Handshake, please.
Okay. There you go. There you go. And then here on the end, Rick, how are you?
It's darn good. I can hardly stand me.
Okay. All right, let's go meet Tyson's Apostles. All right, Tyson, tell me, who have you brought with you here today?
I brought my lovely wife, Rachel.
Rachel, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
And who's this down here on the end?
This is one of my best friends and also my co-host of, what do we call it again? News AF. News AF, the podcast to end all podcasts.
Okay. Danny, I heard you had an incident with a ghost pepper earlier today.
I recovered. I suppressed it with a salad and some soda.
Okay. Was that a side salad followed by more salad?
No way. That person is still here, right? Yes, there he is. Okay, he hasn't run out in an emergency.
And just to update us, you've only been burned one time so far.
So far, yeah. I can report. Don't worry. I'll tell Tyson when the second burning comes.
And I'll tweet it.
Okay. All right. Let's get ready. Let's play the feud. Jonas and Tyson, come on up here. Okay.
Oh! Okay. Let's do this.
All right. Here we go.
Wait.
All right.
I don't know how we really put our hands.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do. Just a couple of ground rules to set up. So for the audience, please resist the temptation to blurt out answers, especially when we get to a steal. You guys are going to lay your hand down flat on the table, and then the first person to ring the bell is going to be buzzed in. 100 Rob Has a Podcast patrons surveyed. We sent the Rob Has a Podcast patrons a survey. We took their first 100 people's answers. So 100 podcast patrons surveyed. Top 5 answers on the board. Name something people do on Survivor that if they did in real life, they'd be fired. Tyson,
Go to the bathroom in public.
Go to the bathroom in public. Let's see if it's there. Number five, bathroom outside. Jonas. No, whoa. Slow down there. Slow your roll.
Oh.
Okay, Jonas has the opportunity to give us another answer if one of his answers beats your answer.
Oh, no, is that how this works?
Yeah.
I should have waited.
Jonas, what do you got?
I'm going to say walking around in your underwear.
Walking around in your underwear.
No!
Let's see if it's up there.
Number
one answer. Okay. Now, Jonas, you've seen survivors in their underwear on Survivor. That was burned into your brain?
Yes. I saw the streak on Tarzan, everything. It was horrible.
All right, let's see if you guys can keep up a hot streak. We'll go to Nalia. Again, you guys have three chances to get this. If not, Tyson's family, get ready to steal. And again, no help from the audience. Nalia.
Oh my gosh, I need a second.
Okay, 3 seconds.
Swear.
Oh, see if it's up there. Say bad words. No.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
no. All right. We'll slow it down on the X. Gonna wait for see if it's up there. Okay. All right. Nicole, you've seen a lot of Survivor. Name no, you can't. No talking, no helping. Okay, they're allowed to talk amongst themselves. Yeah. Nicole, name something a person does on Survivor that they did it in real life, they'd be fired.
I'm going to go with lie.
Let's see if it's up there. Tell a lie. Number two. All right. Two answers up on the board. Rick.
I'd say not brush your teeth or take a bath for 30 days.
Okay. Not brush your teeth or take your bath. Bad hygiene. Okay. All right. Jonas, 2 strikes. It's all up to you. If you've got this, we continue. If not, Tyson's family gets ready to steal. Name something a survivor might do on the show that they get fired in real life for doing.
Stab somebody in the back.
Okay, let's see if it's up there. No. All right. Let's get some steel. All right. Danny?
Sleep with her coworkers.
Sleep with coworkers, Rachel?
Oh, that's what I was going to
come up with one answer.
We're brainstorming. You give the final say. You give the final say.
That's what I want. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear
what that one. Okay. Need an answer. 3 seconds. Okay.
I think.
All right. What are we going to go with?
Sleeping with in the communal, like the coworkers, sleeping with coworkers.
Okay, if it's up there, Tyson has stolen this pot. Sleep with coworkers. No! Okay. Let's see the other answers. Number 3. Sabotage the food. And number 4. Steal. Okay. Let's get Rachel and Nalia up here. If we can't fix that scoring, just remember that they should have 0, not 7. Okay. All right. Let's go to round 2. 100 patrons surveyed. Top 5 answers on the board. Real or fictional, name a famous person named Tony.
Real or fictional?
Real or fictional, name a person who has the first name Tony. Could be anybody.
Tony DeVito?
Tony DeVito, very famous guy. Huge Tony. Who here's a Tony DeVito fan? Lots of Tony DeVito fans. Let's see if he's there. Oh. Show me Tony DeVito. No.
Can I go?
No. Now Rachel goes. Could be anybody that's famous named Tony.
Rachel. Yes.
Tony the Tiger.
Tony, is he great? Number 3. All right, let's go to the Apostle family. All right, here's Danny. No collaborating. Danny, real or fictional?
We don't get the choice.
Do you want to pass?
Do we know for other Tony?
I don't know. See.
Yeah. You realize that if you pass, then it comes back to you if they don't get it. So you will eventually need to know one. Okay. All right. No, we're gonna play. We don't have enough time for this deliberation.
Is it Tony Soprano?
Tony Soprano got myself a gun.
Yeah!
Yes, number one answer. All right. Tyson.
Yeah?
Okay.
Is it for me?
Real or fictional, name a famous Tony.
Tony Vlachos.
Who's... Okay. In case I did not mention that up front, it was besides Tony Vlachos, name a famous Tony. Okay. So, that was the question that was submitted to the... Okay. I'll give you a do-over on that.
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins. Let's see if it's there. Tony Robbins. No, no. The patrons were not into the Tony Robbins. Okay, Rachel. Real or fictional? Besides Tony Vlachos, name a famous Tony.
I swear there's a Tony on Full House.
Nope.
Okay.
Let's see if it's there. Show me Tony from Full House. You don't got it, dude. Okay. All right, Danny. Danny, don't look at them. Don't look at them, Danny. Okay. No, you don't have to. Real or fictional, besides Tony Vlachos, who you probably don't even know who that is anyway.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah. Name a famous Tony.
Tony Braxton.
Tony, the Tony with an I. Show me Tony Braxton. Okay. All right. All right. Get ready to steal. Get ready to steal. Rick.
Get one.
All right. Well, we're brainstorming.
Oh. Yeah, brainstorm the one we had left.
Tony Danza.
I'm going to go with Tony Danza.
Okay. All right. If it's up there, you've got a commanding lead. If not, Tyson family is on the board. Show me Tony Danza. Who's the boss? All right, let's see number four. Montana Scarface, number five. Tony Hawk, Danny. Come on. Again, those 44 points should be over there, okay?
How many more rounds are there?
Well, the way we're going, not many. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to round three again. All the points should be to the Jonas Brothers, okay? If you guys are keeping track of the home. Okay, under 13. All right, round three. Okay, this could be the great equalizer. Let's do dollar values are doubled this round, okay? Dollar values are doubled. 100 patrons surveyed. Name a word with more than five letters that starts with the letters AF. Yes, Danny.
Aforementioned.
Let's see if it's there. It's a big silver dollar word. Aforementioned. Nicole, stay over here. We need a word with more than five letters that starts with AF.
Affluent?
Let's see. Affluent. Number one. All right. Jonas family, you guys are going to play, right? Okay. All right, Rick. Name a word with more than five letters that starts with AF. Top seven answers on the board.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. Let's see if it's there. Show me the afternoon. Yes. All right, Jonas. No strikes. Smooth sailing. A word with more than five letters starts with AF.
I'm going to go with affirmation.
Affirmation. There was no Tony Robbins, but do we have affirmation? No, no. Not doing a lot of soul searching when filling out the survey. Okay. Nalia, a word with more than five letters that starts with AF.
Afterward.
Afterward. Let's see if it's there. Show me afterward. No. Tyson family, get ready to steal. Juicy five answers up on the board. Nicole, you had the number one answer before. Five answers are still up there. a word with more than five letters that starts with AF.
After all?
After all. A little bit of a compound word. Let's see if that's there. After all. No. Okay. Big chance to steal.
Six letters.
Or more. Or more. Danny?
Why are you asking me again?
Again?
We already got it.
All right. All right. Let's go.
Africa.
Okay. There was Survivor there. Is it on the board? Show me Africa. Yeah. Tyson family is on the board with 66 points. Let's see if the other answer is number two. Number two. Afraid. Number four. Affect. Number six. Affordable. Seven. Affable. All right. Let's go back to the... Okay, Rick and Tyson, let's make dollar values tripled in this round. All right, 100 patron survey, top six answers on the board. Here's the question. Name a question... What, if we take the bell? I heard it. 100 people survey, top five answers on the board. Name a question a Survivor player often gets. Tyson.
Was it hard out there?
Let's see. Is it hard out there for a pimp? Number five. Four answers will beat it, Rick.
How did you do? Where did you end up?
Okay. How did you do? No. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let's go to Tyson's family. Get ready to steal a lot of points on the board. Rachel, what's a question a Survivor player often gets?
Did you have a toothbrush?
Let's see if it's up there. Did you have toothbrush? No. No. Not a question. Danny, I thought you might know some questions that you've asked survivors. What is a question that the Survivor player often gets?
Tyson just talks to me nonstop. I don't ask questions. But I imagine one would be, were you hungry?
Were you hungry? Okay. Food-related questions. Okay. Number three answer on the board, Tyson.
Is it real?
Is it real? Yes. Number one answer, 19 people said, is it real? Okay, Rachel.
Do you really just go to a hotel at night?
Okay, at nighttime. Do you really just go to the hotel if it's not there? Get ready to steal.
No, we have one more. Is it?
How many strikes, Lancelot? Only one. Okay. No. Okay, now you got two. Now you got two. Jump the gun. Jump the gun. Okay, now get ready to steal. Two strikes. All right. And Danny, name something, name a question the Survivor player often gets.
Did you get to pick what to take?
Did you get to pick your luxury item? No. Okay. All right. You guys got it? You guys got it? All right. Jonas? Jonas feels good? Okay.
Kerry, can I confirm with my teammates?
Yes, very quickly. Running out of time. Okay. Tyson, you want to psych them out?
Yeah. You guys can't do it. You can't do it. You guys, you're nothing. You're.
What's the nastiest thing you ate?
If it's up there, you've got a real commanding lead. If not, Tyson's family is going to go play Fast Money. No! All right, number two. Where did you go to the bathroom? And number four, did you survive? That's my favorite. Number six, would you do it again? Okay. All right, well, we have only got the room for a few more minutes, so I think we got to move on to Fast Money. I'm sorry, Jonas family. You guys had a commanding lead. Yes, Malia, great job. Nicole, well done. Rick, congratulations. Tyson.
See what I did there? Who's I made you think you were going to win, and then...
All right, who's playing Fast Money for the Tyson's Apostles? I need two people.
Those two.
Okay. All right, Rach, you want Rachel and Danny?
Sure.
All right. All right, so here's what we need to do. So who's going to go first? Rachel and then Danny. So what we need to do is have Danny move to the soundproof booth where Danny cannot hear any of the responses given. Is that possible? Do we have, like, loud headphones we can put on Danny? All right, just go run into the lobby for a minute, okay? Can we get a handler to go take Danny outside? Okay. All right. Okay, somebody needs to make sure Danny's not cheating, but I don't think he cares enough to cheat. Okay. Rachel, come on over here. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play Fast Money, and what you're going to do is you're going to have 20 seconds, if we can get 20 seconds on the clock, Lancelot, and I'm going to ask you a series of 5 questions, and again, no help from the audience, and you're going to give us the first answer that comes into your head, and then we'll turn around and see how you did, okay? So the clock will start when I finish the first question. Here we go. Real or fictional, name a famous healer.
A famous healer. Buddha.
Name something associated with a sheriff.
Criminal.
Name an article of clothing that might be plaid.
Shirt.
Name a survivor you wouldn't want to sit next to on a plane.
Rupert.
Other than Kelly, name something... Oh, okay. All right, only got to 4. Let's turn around, Rachel. Let's see how you did. Come on over here. All right. Real or fictional, name a famous healer. You said Buddha. Our survey said zero. Nobody said that. Just you. Okay. Name something associated with a sheriff. You said criminal. Our survey said nobody said that either. Okay. All right. Name an article of clothing that might be plaid. This was a good one. You said a shirt. Our survey said 46. Number one answer. Okay. Name a survivor you wouldn't want to sit next to on a plane. You said... Our survey said, okay, 54, not bad. And then we didn't get to the 5th question. All right, so Danny's got some work to do, but not terrible. All right, let's see if we can get Danny in here. All right, let's cover up the answers, because I'm sure he's going to steal these. Okay. 146 points Danny will need. Is he going to get it? What do you think? No. Is he going to get close?
Yes.
No. All right, Danny.
Does he care?
All right. While you were gone, we decided if you don't get this, you have to eat the rest of the ghost pepper. Okay? 54 points for Rachel. Come on over here. All right. Here we go. I'm going to give you 25 seconds this time around. You're going to give us the first answer that pops into your head, and that clock will start when I finish... The first question, real or fictional, name a famous healer.
Jesus.
Name something associated with a sheriff.
Badge.
Name an article of clothing that might be plaid.
Rob. No, I'm just kidding. Shirt.
It's already said.
Okay. Oh, okay. You can't repeat someone's thing?
You got 6 seconds.
Okay, it's over, right?
No,
pants, kilt, I don't know, whatever.
Pants. Name a survivor you wouldn't want to sit next to on a plane.
Russell.
And then we'll get to the last question. Other than Kelly, name something purple.
Your face when you're being choked, I don't know.
Okay, all right. All right, Danny, come on over here. Okay, all right. Don't give up, buddy. Okay, all right. Real or fictional... Name a famous healer. You said Jesus. I wasn't sure if you were just like really stumped or if that was your answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
First that came to my head.
I believe that is our number one answer. Let's see what they said. 18. Hey. Name something associated with a sheriff. You said?
A badge.
A badge.
That's a good answer. Let's see what our survey said. Whoa! Danny, look who just got back in this thing. Number one answer.
Yeah, we'll wait till the next two.
Name an article of clothing that might be plaid. Unfortunately, Rachel gave the number one answer, which was shirt. You said pants. Our survey said nobody said that. Shirt was the number one answer. Okay. Name a survivor you wouldn't want to sit next to on a plane. You said this could be a game changer. Okay. Our survey said number 12.
He's very unkempt.
All right. Name something other than Kelly that's purple. You said choked face. If 47 people said choked face, you guys are the big winners. If not, we get out the rest of the ghost pepper. How do you feel?
Right now, pretty good. But not about my answer.
Our survey said no. So close. So close. I believe eggplant was the number one answer. Yeah. Okay. But give it up for the survivors, for the Apostle family, for the Jonas Brothers. Thank you guys so much for coming out here today. We had so much fun. For myself, I'll be in the lobby for a while. Take pictures, whatever you guys want to do. We just need to get out of here right after this. Thank you guys so much for coming on out. Thanks so much to Lancelot and all of the listeners here in Utah that helped get this off the ground. And thanks so much to all of the Utah survivors that came out, especially Tyson, who helped so much with getting all this organized. Thank you guys so much. And thanks so much to the Marriott City Creek for having us here. And I'll see you guys later. Take care, everybody. Bye.